Welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tom Davis. I have Kevin Doncaster and also Lisa Adams with me today. We're going to be talking about the Warhawk PTSD Service Dog Program. First of all, Kevin, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having us.
It's been a while since we last chatted, about a week or so. And Lisa, this is the first to have you in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, tell us a little bit about the reason that we have this program.
Well, it's pretty simple. Every day there's over 20 veteran suicides, and this program was developed by us so that we could put a stop to that. We want to put a stop to veteran suicides, and we want to do that through service dogs, PTSD service dogs.
Now, these dogs are specially trained, and they really come in as a great comfort and a diversion sometimes for the soldiers, correct?
That's correct. We want them to run interference. We want to get folks out and about, and a lot of people that struggle with PTSD are just going to stay very reclusive. So the first thing that these dogs are going to do is they're going to get them out, going to give them the confidence to get out, run interference for them. They create a zone of protection in public. And then the other thing that they do is they disrupt the triggers. So when I'm having an issue or I'm having a flashback, my dog will immediately come up, start running interference against me by either bumping into my leg or coming up under my hand, and she's going to start to escalate a little bit more if I don't pay attention to her. And all she's trying to do is disrupt that trigger, make me pay attention to her, take my mind out of that situation.
Man, that's something else. Lisa, how did you come to be involved with this group?
Well, we met through a mutual friend. And I believe in what Kevin's doing. I run a recruiting company, and we focus on helping veterans find work.
Oh, great.
It's always been a passion. My daddy is a veteran. And when I launched my company, I knew that that's what I wanted to do, was help veterans find work. And we also run OKVeterans.com, which is an online free platform to connect veteran organizations and the veteran community. And we have such things such as a statewide event calendar so that anybody that wants to know what's going on can get on there and see what's going on statewide. Organizations can log in and post their events.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, Kevin, you're a vet. You've been at it for what, 7 years?
I spent 7 years in the Middle East alone.
Oh, my.
Yep.
That's a lot of time away from home and a lot of not-so-pleasant things happening.
That's correct. So I served in the Marine Corps, and then I also went back as a civilian contractor when my two younger brothers were getting deployed. My whole family has served. And even though my mom wasn't in uniform, I still consider her a service member just because of all the white hair that me and my brothers have created for her.
She gets the Congressional Medal of Mom.
That's right. That's an important role.
It is. It certainly is. So when you got back, tell us a little bit about your experience trying to reassimilate being a civilian after being a soldier for so long.
Well, to put it plainly, I don't think I've ever truly reassimilated back into civilian life. Mm-hmm. You know, folks at work, because I still do work full-time, and this nonprofit's also full-time as well. But folks at work say, you know, one of these days, Kevin, we're going to civilianize you, you know? And it's just a struggle. If you think about the times when World War I, World War II vets, Korean, Vietnam, these guys would take time to get out into the war zone. Mm-hmm. Today, we're flying in and we're guns up, ready to roll within 24 hours or less. You come back in the same fashion. So there's no decompression time. And that was always the challenge. When you spend that amount of time away, you come back, suddenly you got everyday life to deal with. You know, you've got, how am I going to pay my bills? You know, I got to remember how to go grocery shopping. Those basic things, they stress me out. They really stress me out.
I can see that. That's a big sea change for a human being. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get the soldiers back home and they're looking for work, this is where your recruiting company comes in. Mm-hmm. And you work with a lot of different people, don't you, in order to make sure it's a good fit, don't you?
I do. We do a lot of interview prep because it's very different. Mm-hmm. When you're coming back from the military, interviewing for a civilian job is very different than a military position. Resumes, helping get resumes translated so that civilians can understand them.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Because it's a huge issue.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, it's almost foreign.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, we're talking in languages like MOS, and some employers don't know what MOS stands for, which is military. Yeah, military occupational skill set, right?
Correct.
And so, you know, what she provides is extremely valuable to helping these guys even just know how to go into an interview process and then put their resumes in languages that folks understand. And collaborating with Lisa is just one example of many that we have done as Warhawk to just continue to funnel resources towards veterans, you know. And we're happy to have Lisa here today.
Mm. You have a special girl in your life, Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Lacey.
That's my Australian Shepherd, and she's my personal service dog. We actually call her the people's service dog. We take her out on every kind of event. We've transitioned her to interact with the public, which in some service dog communities, I get a little bit of a frown from because they believe that service dogs should be just for you. And I agree with that. But we're trying to show the public exactly the power of what our dogs do. They're strictly Australian Shepherds. We've got a great bloodline, a great breed, and they're just docile. They're great for families. But yeah, she's extremely important to me. And I love sharing her with the public. She always, in some cases, I've been told, hey, we noticed your dog before we noticed you. I've always thought I was a pretty attractive guy, but apparently Lacey turns more heads than I do.
It's one of those things. I got to tell you, it's one of those things. If it works for you, you know, it's one of those things. But what does it cost to breed and raise and train a dog like that for your program?
This is what I think this is one of the cornerstones of what Warhawk is all about. We don't charge for our dogs. We believe that veterans and first responders should have them free of charge. Mm-hmm. But the national average indicates that a service dog costs approximately $20,000. And the waiting list for any decent program is about 2 to 4 years. And our struggle is that we don't believe that anybody struggling with PTSD can wait that long.
No, too many bad things can happen.
That's right. So we're cutting that time in half. We have a very grueling process. Our program is very fast-paced, and we want to beat that timeline. We also, in-house, because, again, we don't pass these costs on to any of the recipients, but in-house, we're south of $10,000 per dog.
That's amazing how you can do this. We're talking with Kevin Doncaster and also Lisa Adams, and we're talking about the Warhawk PTSD Dog Service Program. Let's say we know a veteran. Maybe it's a family member or a friend of ours coming back after, you know, maybe some not too pleasant business. And a dog would probably be a good fit. How does one request a service dog? What's the process? Take us through that.
You bet. So there's a formal interview process, and I'm pleased to announce that we've been working with an Army veteran who is transitioning out of the Army, actually. He's stationed in Hawaii. Terrible location, right?
Awful. My goodness.
Yeah. Eric Hudson. So phenomenal guy. He stood up Hudson PR Group. He has put WarhawkPTSDServiceDogs.com up and running for us.
Wow.
And when we have the next batch of dogs, the application process will be online. They'll request, submit a formal application. We will review it. We'll background check them. We'll interview those folks. And we'll also inspect the home. We want to make sure that these dogs are going into a safe environment. But yeah, the formal process will be online. And we're excited about that.
Now, what's the cost to the recipient to get up and going on this program?
To get up and going. So the application fee is $100, and 100% of that is used to perform background checks, visit the home, things of that nature. So we're not taking any of that money. We're spending 100% of it towards vetting that person. As I'm sure you can understand, we've had a lot of requests, and not all of them have been valid requests.
Somebody just wants a dog.
That's right.
Wow, amazing. Now, what type of individuals and groups does Warhawk PTSD Service Dog Program collaborate with, coordinate with, you know, much like Lisa?
Much like Lisa here, yeah. Yep. So I'm real happy to announce that there's two main groups that we work with where we have an automated reply, because we learned early on we have to set some boundaries. I was getting a lot of calls and a lot of requests via our Facebook page. And now even with the website being stood up for such a small amount of time, a lot of requests are coming in. So we have to set some hours. But there's some people that are really struggling. They're hanging on to the very edge. Hope is Oxygen is a nonprofit organization that's based out of Tulsa, and Linda Clark Pulver, who is just passionate about suicide prevention, is who stood that organization up. So they collaborate with us. They're actually coming to our event November 15th. And they're all about just suicide prevention. We need that because we're not trained to do this. We're all about dogs, right? We don't know how to talk to some of these folks. So we've got the suicide prevention hotline, the phone number on our page. We've also got Linda Clark Pulver's deal on there. And then here's a cool group. It's called Vet to Vet Crisis Response Team. They're another nonprofit out of Arkansas, and they serve everybody in the United States. You can be a veteran, or you can just be somebody that's struggling with a rough time. Mm-hmm. They're a peer-to-peer crisis response team, and they actually train police officers on how to approach veterans that might be over the edge.
That's a darn good idea.
Yeah.
So you've got this broad base of people who are helping. First of all, with what we have here with the dogs, with Warhawk, that's the first thing, to make sure that there's a balance going on there.
There are
corrective measures that take place so normalcy can somewhat return. And then we've got the folks who take care of the suicide edge. We also have the end that with coping mechanisms. And now we have Lisa who's ready to put them back to work.
Absolutely.
That's really a broad spectrum. That's a big alliance you got in a very short time.
It's even bigger than that. And you're right. I mean, we've caught a lot of steam, and I'm proud to say that we've got so much community backing. Right here in Dewey, there's another organization called Stormwalker Ranch. Have you heard of them?
Yes, indeed. I just spoke with them just the other day. We swapped outies.
Yep, Clay and Phyllis, and they run this equine therapy ranch, and they're all about helping people through horses, mm-hmm. and they're faith-based, which I love that. You know, I'm pleased to report that I piloted a veteran program with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm not a horse guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And when they're horsemen, I don't know these technical terms for that stuff, but when they asked me to come on board there and get close and personal with horses to learn how to go through this process, the guy asked me, his name's Byron Hogan. He says, hey, what do you want to do today? I said, well, you see that horse over there? I'm good if that horse stays there and I stay over here. If you leave it up to me, we're not going to get anything done, right? I'm just terrified of horses. But it's a phenomenal program, and there's a guy that's living there full-time that I served with in Afghanistan, and he's been going through therapy for about 8 months, and that's just the power of this collaboration effort that we're taking on. I mean, we're helping people in any way that we can. Dogs may not be for everybody, but we're going to do our best to get people plugged in.
That's amazing. And when they're ready to go back to work, tell us, Lisa, how does this all take place? They give you a call, they pop on the internet, they say, howdy, we're ready to go. How do we get them into your line?
Absolutely. So the name of my company is Valiant Recruiting,
mm-hmm.
and our website is valiantrecruiting.com. They can also reach out at 918-857-9900, and I'll be happy to talk to them and see how I can help and do everything that I can.
Are the Warhawk dogs welcome?
Absolutely.
You got it. And of course, the way that you try to get everybody assimilated or reconfigured to get back into civilian society is just incredible. You know, everything from the resume to it's almost like learning a new language all over again, wouldn't it be, from both of your perspectives?
Oh, without a doubt.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yes. So how can we get a hold of Warhawk and learn more?
You bet. So we're on Facebook at Warhawk PTSD Service Dogs. We're on the web at warhawkptsdservicedogs.com, and our phone number is 918-815-6775.
Promise to come back and visit us?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that'd be great, because I think we've only just barely scraped the tip of the iceberg when it comes to helping our soldiers come back and be all they can be. Everybody needs to at least a chance to fully come home.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being with us on our one-on-one today and Community Connection.